When it comes to naming prominent black inventors, most of us would probably come up with George Washington Carver. His contributions are numerous, but there are many, many names on the list of African-American inventors. Their names may not be widely known, but they are responsible for an impressive variety of inventions that touch our daily lives, from the ironing board to sophisticated computer technology and a whole lot in between. Some years ago, a museum of black inventors was established here in St. Louis. It's now a traveling museum, and its founder, Loretta Ford, joins us in studio. Loretta, thanks for being with us. Great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
When and why did all of this get started in St. Louis?
You know, it's really interesting. I attended a book fair at St. Louis University in 1995, and I picked up a book, Black Inventors of America, by Burt McKinley, Jr., and I start to thumb through the book, and I saw all of these amazing inventors that I had never learned about in elementary school. And just from there, I was determined to share it with as many people as I could.
Well, you had an actual presence, a building or a part of a building on King's Highway, as I understand it.
We were there, but before that, we were actually here in the Central West End on South Newstead for 2 years. That's where we initially started and had our original gallery. And then we moved to the King's Highway location and was there for several years as well.
What happened to that facility?
First of all, we outgrew the facility that was in the Central West End after like a year and a half. And we would have visitors coming from around the country, and they had in their mind this big, glamorous art museum-like gallery. But it was a nice museum, you know, wonderful location, but it just could only hold about 70 to 100 people at a time. And we had a lot of kids that would come with field trips in school, you know, field trips and things like that. So we sort of outgrew that. Then we moved to the one on King's Highway, and that one was a little bit bigger for us. We were able to have some of our summer camps and things like that there, but that wasn't the ideal location for us. We really needed to be someplace that was more central for out-of-state tourists and visitors to see us.
And these, and now the show is on the road, as they say, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But what exactly did you have in these buildings? What was on display?
Well, we had first we have photographs, drawings, documentations that make up our exhibit. But we also have hands-on replicas of inventions, and we had the biggest invention that we have that we actually don't travel with is a wagon. And that wagon, remember the old stagecoach wagons in the Western movies?
Only from what I've seen in the movies, Loretta, thank you.
It's sort of a replica of that. And that's one of the bigger. Then an antique icebox. We don't travel with that because it's extremely heavy. So those are some of the bigger items. But we also have all of our original items that are smaller that we do travel, like the baby carriage and some of the others that we do take on the road with us.
Well, when and where do you travel? Do you wait for someone to invite you, or do you just head out somewhere and stop and pitch your tent?
Right. That's a very interesting question. We do have people that contact us. For example, we were just contacted by MasterCard. Corporations, organizations, mostly schools, universities, and community organizations will contact us. But we also will solicit them as well and get them to say, hey, how about incorporating diversity in the workplace and share some knowledge about contributions by African Americans?
You know, I'm sure I know the answer to this question, but why do you think it is that so few of us know so anything about these people who have made extraordinary contributions?
You know, that is one of the reasons that I decided to start the Museum of Black Inventors, because I attended predominantly African-American schools, and as part of my history lessons, I only learned about George Washington Carver as
we
a black inventor. Right.
Yeah.
And his many contributions from the peanut and things. And I was just amazed that I've gone through school and just didn't have this history. This history was just not a part of our history books and not taught.
Well, we can talk about some of the specific inventors and inventions in just a moment.
Sure.
But one of the things that struck me in going over the list were the number of inventions that were created during the time of slavery.
Yeah.
That must have been extraordinarily difficult to have an idea and then be able to present it and have people accept it.
Well, you know, that's always fascinating to me, because at some point during slavery, in 1861, slaves were able to have their inventions recognized and able to get patents, unfortunately, they could not make decisions about profits. They could not receive anything. But it was actually decided during a controversial case where the actual slave master petitioned to the courts that if he owned the slave and that was his property, then the slave should not have a right to have a patent. And he actually won that case, and it stayed on the books there for maybe 4 or 5 years. And then it was overturned by the courts that slaves were free after 1865, and they were able to own their own patents.
But prior to that, they were not profiting at all from whatever they came up with.
The slave masters would get the profits, sure, and so forth.
Can you name a couple of these inventions that fall into this category?
There was a guy by the name of Ned, and Ned and his invention was related to the cotton gin, where he was able to make an apparatus that enabled the cotton gin to operate more efficiently. And, of course, cotton is a big moneymaker during slavery, yeah, and that was one of the ones that was really, really difficult for him to achieve. He actually did go to court and against his master and lost.
Yeah, that was probably not a very easy thing to do.
Oh, absolutely
not. In that day. Another that I have on the list here we can talk about for a moment, this was post-slavery. This was in 1887, and that's Sarah Boone and the ironing board. Now, you wouldn't think that this would, you know, would be a great revelation, the ironing board, but I guess it was.
Well, Sarah Boone didn't invent the ironing board. She invented the sleeve, the ability for the ironing board to adjust and add an apparatus that allowed you to iron sleeves. And as you know, men's shirts and things like that were the bigger things that were ironed and in the early 1800s, but Sarah Boone actually created that. And it looks like a miniature ironing board when you see it in the museum, but it's actually supposed to be used for ironing the sleeves only. And she was one of the female inventors that created that.
And there were a number of women, of which we certainly have to give them their due, as I go over the list, a number of them.
Yeah, Madam C.J. Walker is well-known and resided here in St. Louis for a number of years and was the actually first African-American millionaire that was an inventor. And she invented quite a few of the women's facial creams products, hair care products, and so forth. And it was still a billion-dollar industry, and she was one of the founders of that.
Hair care seems to have gotten a lot of attention, and I suspect it still does.
It does. Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Who are some of the other? I mean, there are a couple of them on the list. Right?
Well, you've also got some local inventors here. Lonnie Johnson invented the Super Soaker water gun, which is one of the fun inventors. And you can go to any store now in the toys department and you can find a Super Soaker water gun. But he was also an engineer and very brilliant man who lived in Illinois. And he was really creative in his inventions as well.
The number of people on the list who were into very sophisticated technology is extremely impressive. I mean, you can track the computer, for instance, through some of these inventors and the offerings that they had.
Actually, the cell phone was not invented by an African American, but the cell phone has some technology that enables the communications to take place. And those kinds of inventions sometimes get not really miscommunicated, but misdirected, because the first time you hear, oh, a black person invented a cell phone, you get excited. But that's not necessarily the case. It's sometimes a device, like with Louis Latimer. He worked closely with Thomas Edison, and he was not responsible for the invention of the light bulb, but he was responsible for enabling the filament inside of the light bulb to give out longer lasting light.
So the light bulb as we have come to know it would not have existed if he hadn't done that.
Had he not done that. And yeah, he also invented the first long lasting light bulb. Louis Latimer did that.
Right. I have a name here that I can't, probably will mispronounce, Philip Emeagwali. And he won the equivalent of the Nobel Prize, the Gordon Bell Prize, in 1989 for developing the fastest supercomputer software in the world.
Yes.
And what a contribution that is.
His name, he's also known as the Superbrain. And people in the industry would contact, you know, what could refer to him as being the man with the superbrain.
There were a number of people who were involved in this kind of technology over the years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And kind of missing in a way. I guess in the scientific world, they're probably well known, but to the rest of us, these people aren't taught in schools.
No, it's not. McKinley Jones invented the first ability for us to cool food in the refrigerator. You know, so he's a cooling device that he invented enabled the food to be stored long term and used in the refrigeration. Mm-hmm. And a lot of slaves were domestic workers, of course, so they had to make their jobs easier. So that's where a lot of the creativity and the inventions derived from.
How about the world of medicine?
Of course, Charles Drew. We are all familiar with Charles Drew.
No, we're not. I mean, that's part of the issue. Part of the issue, and we should.
Well, you know what? We should be. Let me talk about Charles Drew. Did the first blood transfusion. Mm-hmm. He's responsible for that. And every year now, the Red Cross and other organizations, including my church, we do blood drives. And a lot of people are not familiar with Charles Drew, having been the first person to do the first blood transfusion. As well as, let's think of some other medicine. How about the pacemaker?
Pretty important device.
Right, pretty important device. Pacemaker, as a matter of fact, the pacemaker device was invented, and the person, and I want to think of his name, I want to say Borkins. I want to think his name is Borkins, Otis Borkins. Actually died because he had heart problems. And it was, you know, just the irony of it, unfortunately, but he was not able to save himself.
I have on my list here Otis Boykin. He invented the electrical resistor used in computers, radios, television sets, and a variety of electronic devices, one of which is the pacemaker.
Right, and it allowed the current, the flow of the currents in the pacemaker to operate.
And saved countless lives in the process.
Countless lives.
And once again, the name is just on the edge of this whole scientific world for people to know.
Sure.
Oh, boy. What other areas here do we want to bring out that people you think should be remembered than they are?
Some of our local inventors that have recently, over the last 10 years, have created. There's a gentleman here that's a school teacher in St. Louis. And his name is Danny Flowers. He actually invented the first kids' weight bench, you know, and he was concerned about kids not exercising and trying to make it fun at the same time. So he did that, as well as an apparatus to hold your cell phone when you're climbing up on a ladder and you want to work on top of the house, but yet you want that phone and you know you have your work belt and a holster to have your tools.
Sure.
That he invented that apparatus. And then another young man, the first NFL glove he invented and actually worked with, I believe it was the Johnny Mac stores. To carry his glove, and his name was Wade Whittington.
You say the NFL glove. Are you talking about what a receiver would you wear that typically, as opposed to a baseball player's type?
Absolutely,
of glove.
Yeah. And I'm glad you specified that, because it was, and I'm not necessarily a sports person, but supposedly the glove enabled the fumbling and the dropping of the ball. And I said, "Is that legal?" I remember when he first approached us with that. Is that legal? And he said, "Yeah, it's legal."
In terms of the history, has St. Louis played much of a role in the this world of science and invention?
I think we have. I think all over there, in every city, you're going to find that creativity. But I think St. Louis has contributed, especially with Madam C.J. Walker being the first African-American millionaire inventor and female. She's put us on the map for that, but
I guess Annie Malone became the second then, because she also was very, very wealthy, was she not?
She was. Annie Malone actually worked with Madam C.J. Walker, And she was, Annie Malone was very, very, a very good contributor from St. Louis. And I'm trying to think of a couple of others that we might want to recognize and highlight from St. Louis. There's just so many of the new ones that I've worked with here recently.
Our time is beginning to wind down. Just in terms of people who have found this sufficiently interesting, they'd like to see your exhibit. Can they do that here? I mean, you're on the road, but there's someplace they can go today.
What they can do is they can always go to our website and find out where we are, blackinventors.org, find out where we're going to be, and if it's a public event, for example, if we're ever on site, say at the Science Center, those are free events. Maybe UMSO, it's a free event. Those kinds of events are open to the public, and they could find out where we're going to be at that
And you
time.
Do a reasonable amount of that in this area?
We do. We don't do as much as I'd like for us to do, but people can always call us and book us, and we're more than happy to come on site.
We will put all of that information on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
Great.
Thank you so much, Loretta Ford, for being with us. It's fascinating stuff. I'm glad we found out about it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.